It's the Daily Talk Show, everyone.
Live from the Gold Coast once again.
Yep, episode 64, Tommy. I'm sorry, everyone, about the audio. I expect better in myself. And it feels weird, Tommy, having the good audio.
Well, I'm coming to your ears clean and crisp as fuck from Melbourne. So.
From the studio, yeah. And I'm outside broadcasting from the Surfers Paradise.
We said that if we were ever doing remote episodes, you have to paint a picture. What have you got surrounding mm-hmm. you right now?
So I've got a really good... So I'm staying with my friend Naysan, which I said yesterday, and he has like a short-term, like six-month or so lease, Surfers Paradise in... It's like... I think it's part of Mantra. They have like a couple of buildings... And some of them short-term rentals.
Right, mate, we don't need to know the lease fucking agreement. I'm asking you to paint a picture visually.
And so I can see...
Not the business plan of the fucking business.
I can see water. I can actually... There's a few trees in front, but where the... there's a big... What do you call it? Like a stage that performances have been happening for Festival 2018. I can see that. It's a very cool spot.
This is the most logistical explanation of a painting a picture.
There's lots of waves. Not many people out. But if I look down the balcony, you can sort of see the pool for the place, and you can also see there's people seated watching on like a big screen the Comm Games.
Can I? I'm going to do it for you. So right now. Okay. I'm in the Gold Coast. There's a beautiful sea breeze at the moment. As you look out across the from the balcony, you look straight ahead. All you see is water. It's blue. There's waves rolling.
There's a couple of buildings in front. Go on.
There's a few buildings. The energy here is electric. The Comm Games are on, and it's just a beautiful place to be. And the food is so lovely. It feels like I'm on holidays because I am.
You fucked it. The food's okay. But when I said to Naysan this morning when we're deciding what to have for breakfast, he said, you're rolling the dice wherever you go here.
Yeah.
And yes, it has its advantages of cheap coffee, but the smashed avo this morning is almost like an avocado puree. It's just that it's different. It's different here. A lot of acai bowls. Haven't seen as much fruit salad as I would have liked, but I'm sure there's a bunch of fruit salad.
Oh, God. So yesterday I had to go buy some batteries from the supermarket. I just chose to go to the supermarket. I wanted to get some other shit from there. And I did. And I had this thing. I don't really do this. I usually go for the cheap option in most things because I don't really think there's going to be much of a difference. But I had this moment where I'm looking at a packet of 10 batteries for $8 or a packet of 10 batteries for $16. What would you buy? Which packet would you buy?
Get batteries, you really notice the difference. So it's one of those few items where sometimes you'll pay $20 for four and they're like the long lasting, like lithium-esque batteries. I would always go, especially if you're doing it for audio recorders or things where you don't want it to fuck up, go the expensive ones.
So you drop the $16.
Yeah.
I drop $16. But I think about it. It's like it is one of the items in my mind that I'll only go the expensive one on. Like I'm even now cars. Like I'm not – fuck. You can buy like a Honda Jazz and it'd be sick. It'd fucking – it's brand new. It's $9,000. It's fine. You know, it's like – it's batteries, yeah, definitely. And then I was reading the back of them. They're like the, the double strength, the endurance mode. It's like their marketing behind batteries, it just will kill you because you believe every word of them because you're putting – I had, audio devices that I needed to power that wouldn't fucking run out. And it still got down to low battery on these ones. So I was like...
Those are the rechargeable ones that are at ProTog in Melbourne. They're good.
No one gives a shit about the place.
I know. But there are like commercial grade batteries that you can get which like Soundos will use in theatre when they're like miking people up for their mic packs. it's good to get them and get rechargeables. Like, it's like cost effective. Like, it makes sense financially, and then you're not having to fucking chuck them in the bin and close your eyes and forget what they're.
Is there anything else that you buy that you will always go the more expensive option? Like, what's this translate into? What else?
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Like, I think for flights, a lot of the times I won't go the cheapest option. I won't fly Jetstar. So that's probably an example.
Eggs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, free range, not non-caged.
So you'll go the premium?
Yeah. What else do I get premium of? Like, I'll get like the better avocados. You know how sometimes there's the cheaper ones that's like the lighter green. I'll sometimes go the ones that are actually better. Strawberries. Strawberries is another primo. There's like premium strawberries, which taste heaps better, and we'll do that.
So how do you relate this to like a business charging more and then having people just think, okay, because immediately you think more expensive, potentially better?
Yeah, I think it's always that value game, isn't it? So you value the batteries that are going to give you reliability and time. But in saying that, that's not always an important thing. Your remote control is a low-level device that's taking not that much power, and it's going to sit in there and it doesn't need to do anything special. So you're going to spend less on that than what you're going to spend on the batteries that's going to power a microphone which can't die. So it's the same with things like internet. Like, commercial grade internet is a lot more expensive than sort of residential internet, and that's because like you can fucking contact them when it, like, there's all these, you know, user agreements, so it won't
go down.
Whereas if
You know, this podcast is an anti Telstra podcast. Because
is that an official statement?
Unless they are willing to sponsor us, then we'll take that up and we'll change our fucking tune. But no, I've always thought pay the premium, get the premium service.
And so you're actually a pro Telstra because you're a Telstra guy.
Yeah, I'm still on it now, and I still think they're like internet's the fastest reception in all areas. But fuck me, I thought paying the premium meant you actually got good service. But it's interesting. I think there's a shift in that business and them scaling, or maybe even reducing the scale to maximize profits, if that makes sense, because of hard times. Like, they've outsourced everything. Like, hard to even get onto an Australian customer support person half the time. But the thought there was always premium, and they still have the product premium, but everything else around has gone to shit, in my opinion.
Well, I feel like Foxtel used to be an example of a company that would express the fact that or communicate that they were like no ads or hardly any ads. Like, that used to be a selling point. Whereas now somehow we've managed to be paying for a subscription for the service and they still give you ads. It's sort of weird. But I am talking about luxury cars and things like that. Did you hear about this lady caught keying a car in Sydney?
No. Well, so, I talked about the keying culture in Sydney. Remember how I said
Well, this there's this article on news.com.au at the moment, and it says, as Jane Flanagan strolled through the cashed up streets of Sydney's Dover Heights on her way to work, she casually took her key out and made a 10 centimetre gash into an Audi four-wheel drive. The nonchalant town planner did this 5 times in total, but little did she know that someone was watching. The car owner, Evan, caught the 53-year-old twice on a dash cam he had up to catch the culprit after his Audi had been targeted 4 times. I just think, like, I would have fucking loved to be Evan catching someone out. Like, just the, you know, I remember as a kid living in areas where there was like car break-ins and stuff, and just thinking, I'm going to stay up all night and just watch the car and we're going to catch him.
Did you wear full black outfit?
All black, exactly. Yeah, I had my my fake gun and ready to roll. But how would you feel being this chick? So she was fined $1,250. I think that was about five charges. But I did a Google search of her name.
Yeah.
And that's all that comes up. It's almost like you with O-Bike. If I type in Jane Flanagan, it's like the top results is Dover Heights woman who keys car in court, serial luxury car keyer caught on camera.
Oh,
Sydney
yes.
woman who keyed luxury car finally admits motivation. Her motivation was that she thought he was parked illegally.
Fucking bitch. Is it, and then there's a LinkedIn, Jane Flanagan, content and brand director.
Nah, so that's not her. I did some more searching.
I feel sorry for
she's
her.
She's a town. Yeah, there's a town plan. She's a town planner. I did some LinkedIn searching and found her on there. So that's slightly awkward. It's how do you feel about it? Calling her a fucking bitch is probably communicates how you feel. But do you
looks like a bitch. He actually looks like a bitch. If I was to ever say someone has a sorry, it's just playing it now.
Yeah, this is news.com day, but I don't use the word how about this he's here's the thing that I've been thinking about. I don't use the word bitch anymore. I haven't used the word bitch for a while, like a few years at least. But I would call her an asshole over a bitch because I think a bitch has this connotation that it's sort of, you know, people can say it might be sexist or it's like it's a word that specifically only people use it for females. But she's a fucking asshole really, isn't she? She's like
you're looking at very closely to the, what the meaning of the word is. I mean, that's the thing. If you're trying to control, she's a bitch. I don't mean a female dog. I just mean the fucking feeling I get when I want to call someone a bitch.
However, the thing is that I reckon there's more power in calling her an asshole because people will be like, oh, mate, you can't say that. But no, she's a fucking asshole. Like, no one can rebut, they'd be like, mate, that's sexist. No, she's a fucking asshole.
Lead in with she's a bitch because they'll say, don't call her a bitch, and then say she's an asshole and they'll have more cut through. just car related. This is interesting. Yeah. My brother was telling me, he's got like a big ute and he was reversing out of a spot. So he's the arse end of his car was going backwards and this woman somehow he looked over his shoulder, saw this woman like in a big Merc, like fucking 20 meters away, pulling into this spot, and then he starts to reverse and next minute she's fucking behind him and he backs into her. And she backed into him. So they're both the backs backed into each other.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Is that docking?
I don't fucking look that up. Look that up.
I don't know. No, that's not docking, is it? Docking's the one that when you're like a female would penetrate a dude. Is that what docking is?
No, you fucking weirdo.
I thought docking was like, I just imagine to. Okay.
I'm not even going to explain it. Just dock it. Just fucking look it up. Sorry, look it up.
Dock it. Do you mean Google it? Anyway, they weren't docked. They didn't dock each other.
So who do you think's at fault? If you reverse and they reverse and you clash?
That's a good question.
Well, I don't think it's clear.
I think put it down the middle, 50-50.
Well, I don't think that's the actual.
That's not how it works.
That's not the technical thing. So my brother contacted.
Okay. Who's in whose driveway? I guess it's like who's backing out of a driveway.
No. Car park. Just say car park, general public space, and you both back into each other. I'll tell you. So my bro spoke to the because he got the details of her. She got his, and he spoke to his insurer, and they said you both have to fork your own bill.
Yeah.
So it's actually you have to pay. It is so that's kind of 50-50. You're paying you pay your 50. You pay your side. I pay my side. And anyway, she was saying, "Oh, can you please put it onto your insurance? My husband's going to kill me." Yeah. My brother's like, "I don't care. You can deal with it. My car, because he's got a big tray on the back of his, like it's just metal." He said he had a little bit of paint from her car. And she'd obviously fucked her car heaps of times and she's like, oh, I can't put another claim through. And
says it all really, doesn't it? She's being an asshole. No, joking.
Her husband was the bitch. My bro could hear when she was on the phone to him, he could hear him in the background, like telling her to say things. And then when he got on the phone, because my brother was like, just let me speak to your husband. And then when he got on the phone, he was a fucking bitch and wouldn't say anything and was just like just fully skirting around everything, but was happy to instruct his wife, throw his wife under the bus, tell her, like, what an asshole. That actually, asshole's more of a word.
Yeah, he's an asshole.
So he's a little bitch asshole.
Little bitch asshole's good. Talking about like car crashes and shit like that, fines, right? What's the biggest fine you've ever received for like speeding or shit like that? Have you ever lost your license?
Never. Nah, not even close. I lost 4 demerit points or something last year.
Yeah.
It's not my proudest moment, but I like to give it a caveat. I was sitting in fucking Punt Road traffic at 8 a.m.
For people that don't know, Punt Road, people synonymously call Cunt Road because it's basically
every highway in LA is another way of looking at it. It's standard traffic in LA. So I was sitting in traffic, like I had my car completely stopped, foot on the brake and no moving, and I had my hand on my phone and I just got a tap on the window. Oh, fuck, my heart sunk.
In a motorbike?
No, he was like a couple of cars behind and he got out of his car and walked up and just looked. And it was like I had a gun.
Was it a policeman that did this? This was a cop.
Highway patrol. They're the ones that are out to I mean, they're on the quotas, right? They're trying to get their numbers up. And I get it. To be honest, I paid the fine. I tried to get out of it and I would say I've done it 98% less. It has scared the shit out of me. And I look out and I play a bit of a game looking into other cars, seeing just like, fuck, dude, please put that away. It's $500. Yeah. It is the most expensive fine. I think it's over $500. Mm-hmm. And like I didn't even have my phone in my ear, like driving at 60K, laughing, talking, doing the podcast. Yeah. Fuck. It's like, no, I'm stuck in standstill traffic. It's the lesson I learned, though. Don't fucking do that.
Here's a question for you. Do you know how fast do you have to drive when you're going past a cop car with their lights on if they're parked?
What do you mean? To get
– if there's a cop car on the side of the road?
Yeah.
What's the rules when you're going past it?
I didn't know what you mean. As in like a speed guy?
No. You see a police car that's pulled someone else over in Melbourne, in Victoria. They've got their lights on, or an AMBO, any emergency service. What would you do?
Is there
you
a rule?
Drive past normally.
Is there a rule?
There fucking is a rule, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Well, I don't know the rule. I just...
So the rule is in Victoria, you have to be going 40 kilometres per hour when you're going past any emergency service vehicle when they have their lights on and they're on the side of the road.
Fuck.
Not only that, but there's another article talking about, is this the most obscure road rule? And what they talk about is, guess what the speed limit is in South Australia when you're going past emergency services?
Fuck.
You probably won't guess.
30?
It's 25 kilometres an hour. And how about this?
Get out and walk.
A lady in New South Wales visiting South Australia, they were on the freeway where it was 110 kilometres an hour. She was going 83 kilometres an hour, went past a police. She didn't think it, like, you know, they were pulled over. There were two cop cars pulled over another car. Anyway, a few minutes later, she gets pulled over. She actually thought she was going 85. They said she was going 83. They said, you know, you're meant to be going 25 Ks an hour. She got fined over $1,000 and she got disqualified for 6 months.
Fuck off. Stupid bullshit rules. That's annoying. You know what I hate more is fucking Church Street, Richmond, coming up the hill from Bridge Road. I'm trying to paint a picture for you, Josh, so you know. Bridge Road. Coming up the hill from Swan Street, and you go past the church, and then it goes down the hill towards Bridge Road. So I was coming up there, went And I was about to go
down. Can I just say, Trevor Long left a review on iTunes and said how much he loves the podcast and said that it's very in. I don't think we could be any more inward focused right now than you explaining a church on fucking Swan Street. But well, go on.
You're my main audience, people are listening to this as well. So I just want to make sure the story's great for you. You'll get the point. My point is this cop car pulled over on the opposite side of where I was traveling. So I was about to go down the hill. And sneaky fucker pulls out his gun. He thought he was fucking Sylvester Stallone. Speed. Yeah. His speed gun, but he treated it like a fucking, like he was using a rifle, and he lodged it up onto the top of the car and then started getting my speed going down the hill. And he did it so fast. Like I made eye contact with him because I was going, it's a 40 zone. I made eye contact with him as I went past him. And I sort of just smiled at him. And then I think that sort of ticked him off and he's like, I'll fucking teach you. And then he just – it was like he literally – it looked like he pulled a gun from his holster, got it up onto the top of the car to get aim at me, and he had his, you know, radar gun, and he didn't get shit. But I was like, that's that hill – you know when you're going down a hill and they're trying to get your speed. And, of course, like unless you get your foot on your brake, you're going to roll into a higher speed. And so
I thought speeding fine downhill. I had a feeling that maybe this is a complete myth, but I thought that you couldn't be fined going down a hill.
Well, I would have fanged it if I knew that.
Yeah, I'm sure that's not a rule. I'm sure that's a myth.
Yeah, I hit 100 down the hill.
In a 40 zone, but as long as by the end of it you're back down to 40, you're okay. I had one instance where I was filming in the Dandenongs, which is sort of this, for people who aren't from Victoria, real sort of hilly, mountainy sort of area, really nice forest, and we were filming a cyclist. I was driving my mate's VW Golf, and he was strapped in the back, on the back seat with the seatbelt on, and we had the tripod set up in the boot pointing out the back with the boot sort of open, and we were filming. We're getting some great stuff. Anyway, we're getting some shots, pulled over on this corner to do a Yui, to do it again. And we just got like boxed in by a cop car, and he said, "Yeah, this is." I think he said that it was idiotic because we were driving slowly on like next to these like double lines, and it was super dangerous. And I think he was angry at cyclists too because it's like, yeah, that cyclist could have been, because we were filming the cyclist. But
did you get fined? No.
No, I didn't get fined. It was the day after my birthday. I don't know if that played a part in it. But
he looked at your license and he thought
– he was like, yeah, or it was his birthday yesterday. Give him a break. But maybe not. Do you think I'm maybe ill-informed?
Very ill-informed. As if that – as if he gives a shit.
Oh, you never know. He didn't say anything.
Oh, get this. I know a copper who used to dabble in some illegal behaviour of himself. Himself, and he was telling me this story about how he pulled over a car, and he was with a female officer, and they were looking through. There was like night; it was like late at night, and this dodgy car, and they found a huge bag of weed in the car, and so they got that out, and they had to, you know, give him a fine or give. I don't even know if they arrested him. I think they just took all these details and. He didn't have anything else on him and he wasn't high himself. Anyway, he said to – because they need to like log the evidence, right? Yeah. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's probably 4.3 grams. And and then they weighed it and she's like, how did you know that? What do you mean? Like that's – it's literally 4.5 grams.
It just fucked up just then. We need to work out this technology side of things. I think it's got nothing to do with fucking us and everything to do with this program. Anyway.
Finish that story. So the dude was like seen – his colleague was thinking he was very sus because he could almost down to the number say how much weed that they found.
did he get the vibe that she was like actually – like fucking sus, or she was just having a laugh?
No. She's like, what? Yeah. Her mind would have been thinking, what the fuck? How do you know that?
Wow.
We haven't even weighed. I asked you when we hadn't weighed it, and now.
Are you allowed to? What's the deal with being a police officer? Like, what pass are you? Do you have to have no criminal record? What's the deal?
I don't 100% know, but I assume that you cannot have a criminal record to be a police officer. But sure. There's plenty of things people have done that haven't been logged in the crime database.
Yeah, sure, that makes sense. Just very quickly before we wrap up, walking along Byron Bay. Yesterday, we hadn't had lunch or anything yet. Walking around, anyway, I go past this corner, and someone goes, "Josh," and it's my friend Sarah Lee, who's from Hawaii, who like lives in a completely different fucking city. She actually lives in San Diego now, and she was in Byron Bay.
Fuck me.
Anyway, and it was just, and I saw her as I was like walking past. I was like, man, she looks like Sarah Lee. And then she like was the one who called it out and was like, Josh. It was just an amazing experience. I have like, I met her online back in 2008. We're the same age. She's an awesome surf photographer. And she liked one of my videos on Vimeo. I followed her stuff on Flickr. And we've stayed in contact. We catch up probably every couple of years. We end up bumping into each other.
Shit. But
I just like, I loved, like, it was just such a moment where I was like, how fucking sick is that?
That's cool.
Have you had any of those cases? Well, I mean, it seems to happen when I'm near a beach because she's like a full-time like surfer, photographer type. And so naturally, anytime I'm anywhere near the coast, it's more likely to happen. But have you ever bumped into people that you know, in a completely different country accidentally?
Yeah, I was in LA and I walked into a hostel where I was staying and I saw a chick that I grew up with. And then we started hanging out. It's fucking sick. My brother, though, was in Germany and they got snowed in. It was like probably 2011 or something. There was like massive storms all across Europe and snow just like grounded hundreds of flights in England and all over Germany. And anyway, bro was staying in this hostel that he owned, like found a room last minute, and he was leaving to go fly out because the snow had cleared. He's walking out, and my best mate walks in to this fucking random hostel. And they're like, holy shit, what are you doing here? And anyway, yeah, coincidence, such a small world.
How about just to top the serendipity even more than that, is I feel like all – like Sarah and I, like we – when I was in 2012, I went to Macworld, right? And the guy who I was – who was going to come over and film with me, his wife's – granddad died the night before we were going, and he pulled the pin at 11 p.m., less than 12 hours before the flight. I'd never traveled on my own before. He was like, hey, man, I'm going to have to cancel. And so I was going there on my own with all these plans of like filming this stuff. So I contacted Sarah Lee, and we booked a flight for her from Hawaii to San Francisco, and she filmed the whole expo for me. But these things, right, which just like, and we'd only caught up for the first time in person in like 2011, and she stayed with my family in Melbourne, and she was hanging out with Bree and I. It's amazing. But this is where it even gets weirder. So I got an email today, and I think I told you this bit. I got an email from an interesting sort of technology company, or like a, you know, a big company today. I told you that bit, didn't I?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
This morning. Anyway, I asked them, I had to sign this non-disclosure agreement. They write back with what they're after, and they're after they're doing a production in Byron Bay, or they're wanting to produce a video in Byron Bay, and it's surf related. It's like all these fucking weird things, like talk about serendipity. So I'm like calling up Sarah being like, hey, would this be something that you'd want to collab on? It's sure. Just like how fucking, like what a random fucking, you know, turn of events, like a bunch of events that happen all at once where it's like when, like it just so happened that I went to Byron, bumped into Sarah, get this email, and for it all, and for me to even know what her schedule's like, I was, it's pretty fucking weird.
What does it all mean, Josh?
I don't know. I think what it means is, I don't know. I'll give it some meaning. I think that what it shows or demonstrates is the power of serendipity. And so the power of like getting out of your cocoon and just having little moments. If I'd stayed in the one spot and I hadn't gone to Byron, none of that stuff would have happened. So it's always probably like getting out, having the fucking skin of the air touch your skin or whatever analogy you want to use, like get out into the real world and be like connecting with people because that's where shit's going to happen.
Yeah. Create the opportunities.
I'm annoyed about this audio. I'm going to run it past Zencaster, who is the tech behind this, because this is literally something's gone wrong every fucking episode.
Fuck it. Trevor Long, please do a review on Zencaster on our behalf. Shit ass.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They need some work. I like the concept, but it's even like the quality's gone downhill since your mic's disconnected. So I don't know. Cool, mate. Well, it's a daily talk show, everyone. Remember, please subscribe to us through iTunes on the podcast app. My favorite podcasting app is, Casts, which is on. Which is like $6 or something on the iPhone. It's amazing. And yeah, if you want to send us an email, the email is hi@thedailytalkshow.com if you want to comment on our use of the word bitch from this episode.
All right. See ya.
Bye, everyone.